Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
You know, but the fact of the matter is, he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. That's my problem with him. He wants to contend and he wants to rebuild at the same time. You know that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry wants to date the roommate?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And George is like, the roommate swap, that's never been done. You can't just presume you could do this. That's what he's trying to do.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
I'm Josh in Toronto.
And I'm Skip in Montreal.
In today's episode, our favorite game of the year.
Our favorite team of the year.
And our favorite TV show of the year.
But first, our favorite play of the year.
Okay, Skip, so it's time for our best of 2019 episode, even though we're already a few days into 2020. It's actually good that we waited because there were some things that happened in the last few days of 2019 that might make it onto our list that otherwise would not have made it onto our list if we had done this earlier. So it actually ends up being a good thing.
You alluded to that last episode, and I'm actually very curious as to what happened in these last week of the December that might have made your awards. I guess we'll find out.
We'll get to that later, but I have to say, in general, when you sent me the categories that you wanted us to talk about, I had a very difficult time this year picking every single one. There was maybe one category where I knew what I wanted to pick for sure. And then all the other categories, I was able to narrow it down to two or three or four things. And even right now, as we speak, on my list, I don't have a winner for each category. I have like a final four for each category, and I'm going to have to pick it on the fly.
Great. Spontaneous. That's the way we like to do it here.
Well,
Skip and Josh podcast.
I don't like to do it that way. I like to have an actual winner. And in fact, there's one category where I have, I think, 10 or 11 things, and I don't know which one I'm going to pick.
Crazy. Can't wait because I'm at the total opposite. I told you I've been kind of keeping track of this all year, like so that I don't have to like cram for my final exam at the last minute, right? So like I've been, anytime that something caught my eye, I'm like, oh yeah, that's in consideration, or that's in consideration, especially for movies, TV, the entertainment stuff, because that stuff's you don't even remember what movies and TV shows you watched like last March, right?
Right. And so I did keep a list of the movies that I watched and the TV shows that I watched and things like that, so that I didn't have to cram, as you say. But even still, when I look back and I say, oh, I watched this. Oh, I watched this. Which one did I like better? I'm not sure. And it's not because there wasn't anything great. It's because, for example, for the best song of the year, and we'll get to that later, there were like five or six really great songs this year. And I had a difficult time picking just one.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear all of them. So. And I went off track on some of these. You'll hear my rationale for some of them. So, do you want to start with what I think is the most obvious one?
Well, it might be obvious to you.
That's why I feel like it's weird, because for me, like, there's some easy choices. But anyways,
before we even get
play
into
of the
any
year,
of the, no, before yeah. we even get into any of the categories, just a little appetizer.
Appetizer. This is what you eat before you eat to make you more hungry.
Sure. Oh, wow.
This is not like best of or anything. This is just, I read this somewhere, and I wouldn't have been able to guess this. I'm going to ask you the question. I don't think you'll be able to guess this either.
Okay.
The top five NHL point getters of the decade. Can you guess them in order?
Not in order. I don't even know if I can guess them, period.
Right. So do you want to take a stab? I have a list.
Crosby, Ovechkin.
They're in the top five, but neither of them are number one.
Malkin?
He's not in the top five.
Joe Thornton?
He's not in the top five.
Stamkos?
He's in the top five. So you've got three of the top five, but you still don't have number one. You're missing one and four.
Tough, very tough. Tell me what it is.
So Stamkos is five.
Uh-huh.
Number four is Claude Giroux.
Oh, wow.
Number
three, never got him.
Number three is Alex Ovechkin. Number two is Sidney Crosby. And number one, with 795 points in the decade, is Patrick Kane.
Patrick Kane. I should have got that. That was obvious. Not that he's number one, but that he's in the top five.
Right. I'm surprised Jonathan Taves isn't on this list either, actually.
No, because he's had, like, his last 2-3 years, he's been very underwhelming point-wise.
Mm, okay.
Right?
Right.
All right. Well, interesting. So, anyway. I mean, it's funny how, like, we usually do these awards to, like, go through the whole year, and then this year and all the other podcasts and articles and news outlets that we watch and listen to, everybody's doing their decade stuff, and I was getting a bit sick of it.
Yeah, there's no way I could do a best of the decade because I don't remember things that happened last week, let alone 10 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I decade. I mean, God, I can't even believe 10 years went by, right? It's kind of nuts.
Well, we're old.
All right, let's get into the awards.
So you were saying that the most obvious one is the play of the year?
Yes.
So that's the one where I've got 11 different plays and I can't pick one.
Okay, well, I think play of the year and team of the year are fairly straightforward, but...
Not for me.
So, okay, well, I'll give you my play of the year, and then maybe it'll influence you, right? I only have one written down.
Before you tell me yours, yeah. I need a clarification on some of these categories. So the best play, is it the most athletic, unbelievable play, or is it the most important play?
It's whatever it means to you. I mean, in this case, I just felt like it was the most dramatic, you know?
Okay, so go ahead and tell me yours.
Yeah, well, I think you know what it is, right? It's Kawhi Leonard's game-winning shot against the Sixers, you know, from the corner when the ball bounced 3 times in slow motion and went in, and then the celebration that ensued right there as he was mobbed by his teammates, you know? He literally made the shot right in front of his bench, right? So it's like, it was mental. I mean, that play was just... I mean, and actually, I wrote it down a lot. When it happened, I wrote it down like that's the play of the year. And then when you saw all the countdowns for plays of the year, that was right up there, or number one. Anyways, it was number one on TSN. Anyways.
Kawhi up top, looks at the clock, turns a corner for the win.
So yeah.
So like, what others did you have?
So I did watch those end of year shows where they had the plays of the year, and yes, that is on my list. And again, I haven't even decided yet what number one is, but that was a very dramatic play. There's no question, but it actually wasn't a good shot if you think about it, because it didn't go right in. So if you're gonna talk about, and by the way, of all the things on my list, they're all hockey and basketball. There's no football or baseball on my list.
Okay.
I'm just gonna ramble off a few. There's a bunch on my list that you probably don't even know who these guys are. But the thing that I alluded to when I said something happened in the last couple of days of 2019, it's not maybe not the play of the year, but certainly up there. Did you watch the Canadiens game against Carolina a few days ago?
I saw most of it. Why?
Charlie Lindgren made an unbelievable save in that
game. Oh, that save was nuts. In fact, the save was so incredible that even on the instant replay, I wasn't actually sure what happened. I was still wondering, did the guy shoot it over the net? Because you actually don't even see it. It happened so quick. It was insane.
So that save didn't make it onto any of the highlight shows because it happened after all the highlight shows were recorded.
Right. It was New Year's Eve, the game.
Right. So now, will that save count for next year's list?
Unfortunately, I think that save is just going to fall into like a black hole, and it's like no one's even going to know about it.
Well, so I figured I should mention it, but so that's on the list. And then...
Sure.
Do you remember the save that Marc-Andre Fleury made against the Leafs that ultimately cost Mike Babcock his job?
Yes, tremendous.
So, I mean, that save, not only was it a crazy save, but then the next day, Mike Babcock gets fired because the Leafs lose 6 games in a row. And if he doesn't make that save, maybe the Leafs win that game, and then maybe Babcock doesn't get fired. Who knows?
Who knows? No one knows.
So that was also crazy. Right. And then the guy on Carolina, Andrei Svechnikov, he had 2 different lacrosse goals.
I'm sick of seeing those, but they are amazing.
So those were amazing plays. And then both Connor McDavid and Matthew Tkachuk scored goals between their legs. Crazy shots. I don't know if you saw those.
Right. Yeah. No, no, I saw those. Yeah.
So
yeah.
those are both worthy. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so there's a few others. I mean, as the cynic in me has put the Brad Marchand turnover versus the St. Louis Blues that sealed the Stanley Cup for the Blues. That's on my list because I don't like him. And, you know,
a turnover is the play of the year.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then, of course, the Stephen F. Austin defeating Duke with no time left on the clock.
That's a sick play.
That was crazy. Like, the chances of that happening are slim to none.
They grab the ball. The Duke players are trying to foul him. He escapes and charges down the court for a layup. And it looks like Jack White maybe is going to block the layup, but he doesn't. And then they win. It really actually is a great play.
The fact that there was enough time for the ball was under the Stephen F. Austin net, and somehow it squirts out to the top of the 3-point line, and then the guy's
got 2 seconds, the game's over.
Right. Yeah. Like, the guy's got, he doesn't even know how much time's left on the clock, and he has the presence of mind to just dribble all the way down the court and throw in a layup.
Right.
I mean, that's a crazy play. And then I guess, you know, the one that I'm leaning towards as giving the play of the year, because if you're saying Kawhi Leonard, and yes, first of all, it was an important shot because it was game 7. It ended up winning the series. Before he took the shot, the game was tied. So it wasn't just a game-winning shot. It was a series-winning shot. And it was very dramatic. Right. However, let's look at one other NBA playoff series. Damian Lillard against OKC. Also a series-winning shot. And also a three-pointer. And also a tie game at the time. And by the way, Damian Lillard's shot was nothing but net, and his shot was almost from midcourt. So if you're going to compare the two shots, really, Damian Lillard's shot is a much better play than Kawhi Leonard's.
Clock is off. Portland has a timeout. Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three, and it's good! At the buzzer! Damian Lillard, are you kidding me?
Sadly, the difference is that the Raptors went on to win the title and the Trailblazers didn't. That's like, I'm being honest with you, right? Like, its place in history will be lost because they didn't continue past the next round.
This is true, but if you're looking at just the play in a bubble,
yes,
I think I need to give it to Damian Lillard.
Oh my God, I don't think we're gonna have to check your Canadian citizenship after this.
Kawhi Leonard's not Canadian.
No, I know, you're right. Okay, so that's that. But what about team of the year? Don't you feel like, I'm gonna tell you my team of the year? Don't you feel like it has to be the Toronto Raptors?
I had a lot of difficulty with this one as well, and I'll get into why.
But difficulty? Really?
Okay, so team of the year. So first of all, does it have to be a team that won the championship in their league?
It doesn't have to be. But typically it will be, but it doesn't have to be.
So I narrowed it down to 4 teams.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I wasn't going to pick the Washington Nationals and I wasn't going to pick the New England Patriots. No chance.
Okay, right.
And I wasn't going to pick college basketball or college football.
Okay.
So the St. Louis Blues are in the Final Four, and the Toronto Raptors are in the Final Four.
Good, good, good. Yeah.
But my other two teams in here are the Baltimore Ravens, who didn't win the championship but had a great season. And I'm talking about 2019. I'm not talking about last year.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay.
And then the other team that's in here, you're going to laugh, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. Because, no, they didn't win the World Series, and they didn't even win a playoff round. But with the lowest payroll in baseball, they made the playoffs. And the lowest payroll by a wide margin.
But team of the year, Josh, over the Raptors, who are the first Canadian franchise ever to win an NBA championship? A team that captivated this entire country? We had viewing parties on the streets in Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. Like, the whole country got wrapped up in the Raptors. Like,
except me. Like, I was, you understand, living in this city and not caring about the Raptors, because I've never cared about the Raptors. I know they've been around for 25 years. I'm not going to all of a sudden wake up one day and say, oh, I'm a Raptors fan, because I'm not.
Well, I wasn't a Raptors fan either, and I actually wasn't until the finals. I wasn't actually cheering for them. I was cheering for the Sixers. Like, we're a Philadelphia household here. My son's a huge Sixers fan. We were devastated when the Raptors won that series, you know? But after that, I have to admit, I got a little bit sucked in, especially when they played the Bucks and then the next round. And
I mean, if you're gonna force me to pick one of these teams, I'm actually going to pick the St. Louis Blues, because the fact that
it's a good call.
The fact that on January 1st of 2019, yeah, they were in last place and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. Yeah. I'm going to pick the Blues, and I guess you're picking the Raptors, which is fine.
I am picking the Raptors, but it's the Blues is a legit pick. Like, your other ones there are a little bit off the reservation, but the Blues is, I mean, yeah, like you said, they were down and out, and the run that they had in the whole second half and then the run that they had in the playoffs was unprecedented, without precedent.
So there you go. So that's my team of the year, I guess.
Okay. Now, the other award that we give is what we call like the ultimate MVP. So the MVP of MVPs. And you might get mad at me because I kind of cheated here.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get mad at you.
I didn't.
Because I've been cheating on all these categories already.
Okay. So, I mean, I didn't feel like any of the best players in the four major sports, no one really stood out to me. Like you said, the Blues won the Stanley Cup. Like, Binnington? I don't think so. And I you can't really point to one player in any of the sports that you say, oh my God. Well, maybe Kawhi Leonard, I guess. I mean, if you go with the theme of what I've picked so far. But I went away from the team sports, and like my ultimate MVP of 2019 is Bianca Andreescu.
Okay, I love what do you think of that? I love that pick. Yeah. And I'm sorry that I didn't even consider that, because yes, you're absolutely right.
We don't talk that much about like the solo sports, like the tennis, golf, and stuff like that. But as much as the Raptors, everybody got caught up in the Raptors. Like, boy, oh boy, did this country get caught up in the U.S. Open this year with Bianca? I mean, it was nuts.
So I love your pick. So that's great. But I didn't pick that, obviously, because I didn't even consider it.
Right. Okay.
So again, I had narrowed it down to, as I said, because I couldn't pick one for any of these. Narrowed it down to four. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the four.
Okay.
One of them is Christian Yelich, even though he did get injured, with about a month left in the season. Another is, and it's difficult for football because the season ends, you know, in the first month of the next year. So, but I
football gets screwed on our awards every year,
right? So I have Lamar Jackson on my list, as a potential. And then you mentioned Jordan Binnington, and certainly Jordan Binnington needs to be mentioned, because if not for him, there's no way the Blues do what the Blues do.
Absolutely.
But for this one. For this one, I actually am going to pick Kawhi Leonard, because
he literally put
the team on his back and carried them to the championship. There's no question about it.
Yeah, absolutely. But to the Raptors' credit, they've soldiered on without him, and they are still a good team. You know, this year, they're still a good team. Can they win the championship? No, but they're a good team.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. And they could. Like, you never know. I mean, stranger things have happened, but I'll give it to Kawhi.
Clearly in 2019, Kawhi. Yeah, I mean, he like you said, he put them on his back and dragged them to the title. You know, yeah.
By the way, going back to the best play of the year, I know that you watched the TSN plays of the year and the Sportsnet plays of the year, and I'm pretty sure that the Kawhi Leonard shot was number one on both of their lists.
It was, yeah.
But I'm curious, because I didn't see the ESPN plays of the year. I didn't see the Fox Sports plays of the year. I didn't see the CBS Sports plays of the year. I'm curious to know what the top play in the United States was, because while it's a big deal here in Canada, Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, it's not as big a deal in the United States. And I'm curious to know what the top play would be on those networks.
I get the feeling like it's still up there, though.
I'm sure it's up there, but I don't know if it would be number one.
We'll get our crack research staff to check that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's you or me, I guess. So game of the year. I only wrote down one game, and it's, again, I'm going off the board a little bit. Although this is a game that we did discuss in an episode shortly after it happened.
Okay. I wonder if it's the same game I have.
This is the Champions League semifinal, Liverpool versus Barcelona.
So definitely different than what I have.
So just to set the stage, because I know you're not a soccer guy, Barcelona won the first leg in Barcelona 3-0. Meaning Liverpool had to win 3-0 just to send the last game into overtime or win 4-0 to advance.
Okay.
And
I do recall this, I think.
Yeah. So the game was moving along. And don't forget, this game is in Liverpool, where Liverpool has a tremendous home field advantage. Their record there is nuts. The fans are crazy. And they brought on a substitute midway through the game. Gini Wijnaldum, who scored two goals right off the bat to make it 2-0. And then miraculously, another player who played like a bit player who happened to be thrust into the spotlight in this game because of other injuries, Divock Origi scored to tie, to basically put them up 3-0 to tie the whole series. And then, you know, the big play, which could have been actually the play of the year, was, you know, the play because you've seen it. Liverpool's taking the corner, and Trent Alexander-Arnold is taking the corner. He puts the ball down on the spot where he's taking the corner kick, sort of walks away for 2 seconds, like as if he's going to size things up, and then quickly comes back and takes the corner super quick when Barcelona wasn't ready. And Origi scores into, like, not an open net, but like he basically scores into an open net, and that basically seals it. And then Liverpool hangs on to win 4-0, and then they actually went on to win the Champions League in the final. Okay. So that's my game of the year.
Excellent. I love that you're going, you know, off book.
Right. Off book. What do you have?
So again, I've got three different games. I actually know which one I'm picking now, but I'll go 3-2-1. First of all, number three, I don't know if you watched the classic Tetris World Championship just the other day.
Okay, by the way, I recorded it because you told me to. Let's just tell everybody what happened. You texted me and you're like, by the way, go on TSN. Look at what's on TSN in an hour from now. I go upstairs, I look at the guide. It's the Tetris World Championships. I recorded it. I watched it yesterday. Not like all of it, but I zipped through it and I watched the end.
First of all, I watched the whole thing. It's nerve-wracking, let me tell you.
They have terminology for the different moves.
And the different pieces.
Yeah.
Like they have a J piece and an L piece and a T piece.
Yeah, and then when they clear like four all at once, they call it a Tetris.
Right.
He's good. He's gonna,
you like, get bonus points for like, that.
Absolutely. It's
and
amazing.
Let me tell you, these guys, they play very risky. They don't play very conservative because they're trying to get that Tetris. So they leave that space all the way at the far right open, hoping to get that long straight piece, but they don't know when it's going to come. And they take these risks. And sometimes the board gets really, really high and you think, okay, he's done. But then somehow, in a matter of seconds, he'll do all these crazy moves. He'll get the right pieces. And like, he's back down to really, really, really low. And it was actually, I was watching it and my eyes were glued to the TV.
The most amazing thing is when you see the guys playing, they're playing on these old TVs.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? They're not playing on new widescreen TVs. They're playing on 4:3 old TVs. Yeah. To make it like, the whole thing was amazing.
The people that are playing and the people that are watching, like, it's funny that it's on a sports network because none of them are in shape. You know,
are you kidding?
One of the kids was 15, I think, the guy who went to the Final Four, a 15-year-old kid, of course.
But wait, are you telling me that the game of the year was the Tetris World Championships?
No, this is in my list, but it's not the number one.
Okay.
But this is another example. This is another example. This happened in the last week of 2019. And had we done this a month ago, we wouldn't have even talked about this.
The Tetris World Championships is amazing. I really recommend anybody who ever played Tetris to Google this, look it up on YouTube, find it on the internet. It was really a sight to behold.
Did you see the part where they interviewed? He was there, the creator of Tetris. He was there.
He was there.
Now, he's not very eloquent, but he's a genius for creating the game.
Right. All right. So what are your other games of the year?
That's number three. Number two that didn't make it was in the Final Four basketball, Virginia versus Auburn. I don't know if you remember this game. It was on the Saturday. And I remember. Virginia had no business winning this game. Like, the game was over. Auburn had won the game. And somehow, in less than a minute, I don't even remember exactly how it happened, Virginia comes back, ties it, and takes the lead and wins the game 63-62. Like, insane.
That was actually an incredible game and actually worthy of game of the year. Yes.
So it was very close to being my game of the year, except that the week before, Virginia played in the Elite Eight against Purdue, okay?
Yes.
And the same thing happened almost, except, again, Virginia had no business winning this game against Purdue. Carson Edwards had scored 42 points for Purdue, and Kyle Guy scored 25 points for Virginia. Virginia had no points winning this game. Somehow, they tie it up. The only reason this game I'm picking over the other one is because this game ends up going into overtime. And Virginia wins in the Elite Eight to advance to the Final Four. But either one of those two Virginia games could have been the game of the year for me.
Good calls. It's interesting because, you know, those games happened in April, March, April, right?
Yes.
So they're just not as fresh in our mind now. But I remember at the time when they happened, we probably talked for 10 minutes about those games on our show.
Because, again, they had no business winning and somehow they pulled it out. It was unreal.
The game against Purdue, they had no business winning that game at all. I remember thinking, like, how the hell did they just pull this off, right?
If someone told you before the game that Carson Edwards on Purdue is going to score 42 points, but they're going to lose, how is that even possible?
Yeah. It's not even possible.
That's more than half their points.
That's why we love sports. Anything could happen, right?
So that's my game of the year.
Good calls. All right, we're done with sports.
Are we already?
Yeah.
Okay. What's next?
Let's go to the entertainment portion.
Okay.
You want to go TV shows?
Sure.
So this one, I actually wrote down a bunch of shows that I watched this year that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ozark. I finally watched Ozark this year, season one and season two. It's tremendous. Stranger Things had a really great season this year.
I didn't even know that show was still on.
Yeah, I watched a show on Amazon Prime called Hannah, which I really enjoyed. Killing Eve knocked it out of the park again. It was great. I actually watched a show this week on Netflix called Soundtrack. We watched the whole season in 2 days, and I really, really enjoyed it. No one's ever heard of it. I don't know, but like, I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's worthy of being in the conversation with some of these other shows. But my favorite show this year is a Netflix show called Unbelievable. And I don't think you've watched it.
I haven't heard of any of the shows you just named.
You never heard of Ozark?
I think I might have heard the name of it, but I don't know what it's about.
Okay. Anyways, Unbelievable is unbelievable, and I would recommend everybody to watch it. I don't want to give too much away, but it's kind of a young woman goes to the cops saying she's raped, and they basically don't believe her. And then the story continues with two other female police detectives in another state who eventually unravel this whole the whole story, and everything comes together. It's really, really tremendous.
Okay, so just to clarify, for this mm-hmm. for these categories like TV shows and movies and songs,
yeah,
it's something that I have discovered in this year, but it could be 10 years old.
Well, we have to do that now. We have to do that nowadays because there's so much content in terms of TV. Like, there's so much content out there that, like, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's expected that you could even watch only what's come out this year. It's not even realistic anymore. You know,
like if you
discover stuff that you've, yeah.
If you recall last year, the song of the year that I picked, the song at the time was 11 years old, even though I picked it last year.
Yeah.
So,
what's your pick for TV show? Is this what you told my wife and then she erased it from her text messages so I couldn't see?
Yes, this is the one.
Yeah.
But before I get to the one, I'll tell you the other shows that I watched that I liked.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I finally finished watching Breaking Bad in 2019, and a very good show and worthy of being the show of the year, but there's one that I liked more. Also, I watched... I think it was season 3 of True Detective, which was...
Oh, I haven't even seen it.
It was good.
Is it good?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like amazing. It's not It's good. You should watch it, but I don't think it's number
the
one.
The thing with me and True Detective is that season one is so good.
Well, you know that the seasons have nothing to do with each other. You know that.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But season one was so good, and then season two was so bad that when season three came out, I was like, I'm just not going to watch
it. Well, I never saw season two. I went straight to season three.
I think you made the right choice.
Another show that I watched, like, and not just, and this is also an old show and I had to binge watch it. I watched it mostly in 2019, and it's a very good show, and it could have been number one, but it wasn't, is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's new season coming.
Yeah. In a few weeks.
Yeah.
And yet another show that I watched in 2019 that no one's heard of. There's been three seasons. Season one was really good. Season two was good. And season three, I didn't like. It's called Brockmire. It's with Hank Azaria.
Yeah. You told me to watch this a few times and I haven't.
So, but the number one show actually that I'm actually picking is from the 90s. It started in 1992 and it ended in 1998. Yeah. And I didn't watch it back then because it was on HBO and I never had HBO, and I'm only realizing now how good HBO used to be and still is actually. Before I tell you the name of the show,
I can guess it.
You probably could. I was able to see a few episodes of the show because back in the 90s, there was a CTV affiliate that you could get in Montreal called CJOH. I don't know if you remember that station.
Of course,
where sometimes on a Saturday night at like 11:30, they would put on an episode of this show. And so I'd watch whatever they would put on.
Right.
But I didn't get to see the whole series. I've seen maybe 25 episodes, and I found out that there were 90 episodes of this show. I was unaware. So I had this free Crave TV for 2 months, and I binge watched all 90 episodes. And so do you want to guess what it is, or should I just tell you?
The 90s. It's in the 90s. I really don't know. I was thinking of The Sopranos, but that came out later.
It's not The Sopranos.
So it's 30-year-old show you got here.
I guess, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Go ahead. I don't know what it is.
The Larry Sanders Show.
Ah, well, you were that was your favorite.
The show is unbelievable. It's so good. Yeah. Now everyone talks about everyone talks about Entourage and everyone talks about Curb Your Enthusiasm. This was before those. This was actually groundbreaking because if not for this, I don't know if Entourage ever even happens.
It was the show about a talk show.
Right. And you saw stuff behind the scenes and it was very similar actually to Entourage, but it was like 10 years earlier.
Didn't he just pass away this year?
He died. Yes. Gary Shandling died in 2019.
No, but the other guy too,
Rip Torn. I think he died in 2019 as well. Yes.
Yeah. Ah, good pick, Josh. You really went back into the archives there.
I did. Yes.
Good. Movies is a tougher category because movies kind of suck now. TV has taken over in terms of entertainment because of all the streaming services, and Hollywood studios are not in charge anymore. You have these streaming companies giving huge sums of money to content creators and directors and producers and giving them carte blanche to make whatever they want. That's why TV's so good, right? Mm-hmm. And movies are really, the movie studios want to have control. That's why movies like Star Wars suck. So it's a tougher choice. So like what I have for movies are not even really in the same stratosphere as what's on TV, to be honest. But like, I think my favorite movie of the year is, just because it's me, was Blinded by the Light, which was the Bruce Springsteen music inspired movie about Indian family in England in the 80s. But okay. I mean, it pales in comparison to most of what you see on TV, to be honest.
Good choice.
What about you?
So I don't go to many movies, as you know.
Right.
In fact, right. I think I might go to the theater once a year, if that.
Yeah. But so, there's movies on Netflix and other services too,
course,
right?
Of course, but the movies that I see, I'm usually like a year behind.
Right.
Because I wait till they come out on television or on Netflix or on Crave or whatever. But I actually did see this year, I don't know, at home, 15 movies. I'm not going to list them all.
Wow. No, thank God.
And most of them are older movies. And I'll tell you some that I liked. I liked these movies. These are not number one, but the reason I like these movies is because they're based on true stories.
Sure. Okay.
So I liked I, Tonya, about Tonya Harding. Sure.
Tonya Harding.
Yeah. I liked Battle of the Sexes, which was about
tennis, Billie Jean King.
Correct. I liked Concussion, which is about the concussions in the NFL.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you heard of this movie called The Founder, which is about KFC.
I heard about it.
With Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
So those were all good movies. But the movie that I'm picking as my favorite movie, and again, it's a couple years old, but I only saw it in 2019, is a movie called Get Out. Have you heard of it?
Of course. It was actually nominated for the Academy Award 2 years ago. And Bill Simmons has talked at length about Get Out, about how in 10 years, 20 years from now, we're going to look back on the fact that it did not win the Academy Award, because it's definitely going to be the movie that kind of represents the time. It's going to be relevant. Like, people are going to look back and say that was the best movie made in the 2010s, you know?
Well, anyway, I thought that was a really, when I saw it, first of all, I'm glued to the TV the entire time. And then even after, it's the one movie that after watching it, I still keep thinking about it even now. And I watched it months ago.
Isn't it too scary for you?
It is a little bit scary, yes. But not it's not scary because stupid Halloween movies or Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever, Freddy Krueger. It's not like that.
No. But it's not a real horror movie, but it crosses over, I think, into the horror genre.
What I like about it, I mean, I liked a lot of things about it. Everything that happens in that movie can actually happen in real life.
Yeah. Right. It's just kind of taken to the extreme, and it all kind of all happens.
So
right?
That's what's really scary about it.
That's a great pick, by the way, and I never ever would have thought that you would watch that movie.
Anyhow, so that's my movie.
But on most critics' lists, you know, when the critics listing the best movies of the last decade, I guarantee you that's on every critics list, that movie.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Song of the year. I also changed the rules here.
Is this the last category? Are we done after this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you have other categories that you made up.
I didn't.
Which you're allowed to do.
I didn't.
Song of the year. I did not pick a song of the year. I picked an album because it's an album that I listened to from February until today, nonstop. I listen to it all the time, and I never get sick of it.
Okay.
In February of last year, I saw the Grammys.
Who watches that show?
I know. And Kacey Musgraves, who I just barely had even heard of, won the Grammy for Best Album. For her album called Golden Hour, she won Best Album at the Grammys, and I had not heard of it. I had never heard of any of her songs. And the next day I said, I'm going to give this a listen, even though it's kind of country, but it's not. It's kind of country-ish. And I just fell in love with it. I started listening to the one song that I heard her play on the show. And then from there, I went to the next song and the next song and the next song. And then, I mean, I listened to I just put the album on shuffle and listened to the whole thing. So Kacey Musgraves' Golden Hour is like my musical choice of the year, even though it's came out last year. You know?
Have I heard of any of her songs?
No, you don't hear them on the radio. You don't even hear them on country music radio.
Okay.
Like it's very, you kind of have to know who she is, you know?
All right.
All right. What do you got?
So for me, as I mentioned earlier, there were like five or six really good songs that I really liked this year, and it was very difficult for me to pick one. And even now, I'm going to tell you the one that I picked, but I'm still not 100% sure that that I picked the right one.
I liked your song from last year.
You did.
I did, yeah.
So this year, the song is called Un-American, and it's by a band called Said the Whale.
wants to hear a pop song, wants to dance with the girls from the restroom. Gavin wants to move sideways, wants to move backwards. Gavin wants to move. Gavin wants to stand beside me, shoot the next record, put on the 70s.
I don't know if you've heard of Said the Whale. They're from Vancouver, BC.
I never have, but I love your picks because I had never heard of the song from last year and then the year before that, and I always find new music just from this little segment.
So Said the Whale, they're from Vancouver, BC. They were started in 2007, so they've been around for a while. They've won Juno Awards, and they've got a few good songs that I like, but this song, Un-American, is a really catchy tune, and I really like it, and it beat out a lot of good artists on my list. But that's my song of the year.
Great. I look forward to discovering it. Like I said, you're always tipping me off on good music. We used to have similar tastes in music, but it's kind of like diverged at a certain point, right?
Yeah, now it's completely opposite.
All right, Josh, that's the awards. Want to wish you a happy new year, and I hope you have an awesome 2020.
Likewise to you, and we will talk next week, but we'll also do this episode again a year from now.
Absolutely, we will, for sure. Start taking notes. Start taking your notes. Maybe there's going to be an awesome play or an awesome game tomorrow.
Well, actually, I've already seen two movies in 2020.
Okay, awesome. Good. Very good. All right, talk to you next time.
Okay.
The Skip and Josh podcast is over now. Don't worry, there'll be another episode soon.